Thank you. going to receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, what day was that? Wednesday or Monday? Wednesday. Wednesday, God bless him to receive the Holy Ghost. All right? He's so glad to say no, turn it back. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss the children. Amen. We're going to dismiss the children. And we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. And as we stated on last Friday, this will be a continuation of our message on last week. Tonight, and once again, we ask the same question. Why are we here tonight? Amen. Are we here tonight based on a commitment or an obligation? A commitment is I am here because I want to be here. Amen. An obligation is here. I'm here because I have to be here. There's a difference.
Amen.
Commitment is I'm here because I want to be here.
Nice.
Amen. As Paul said when the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus. Amen. When the Lord stopped him and he realized that he had been in error, Paul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And he said it with a willing spirit. And tonight, we want, once again, just to rehearse for those that weren't here last week, if you haven't seen the tape yet, what a commitment is. Amen. A commitment comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means a fellowship or a communion and a personal intimacy with God. A fellowship, a communion, a personal intimacy with God to please him with our whole desire. Can we say whole desire?
Whole desire.
All right. I know it's a little cold outside. Amen. And it's been a little tough. But I don't know what you came to do tonight. Hallelujah. But I came to praise the Lord. Can we say whole desire? We're here not because we have to be here. Amen. I'm here tonight because I want to be here. Because when I think of where I was,
come on.
I was on a hellbound road and had no hope of heaven. But the Lord stopped me in my tracks. Saved my wretched soul. Hallelujah. Now I'm on that way to heaven. Somebody said, I'm on that. Glory road. So I can't help but praise the Lord. The psalmist said, what shall I render? Hallelujah. When I think of where I used to be and where I could be right now. Hallelujah. What shall I render unto God for all of his benefits unto me? I'm going to take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Verse 8 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If you don't have your Bibles, it is on the screen. Let us start. And Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renew the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the 3rd month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their father. Can we say that one more time? And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their father with all. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their father with all their heart and with all their soul. Let's just jump down to verse 15. And all Judah
Once again, we're dealing with a commitment. I'm going to deal more with a commitment than an obligation. Amen. Because God wants us to be committed. Amen. And as we went over on last week, commitment is not based on anyone else. Commitment is a personal, intimate relationship with God with all your heart and your whole desire. That's commitment. Well, Asa was the king of Israel, of Judah, sorry. And at this time, Obed the prophet came to speak to Asa. Asa completely displays what it takes to be committed. Amen. We're going to go back. I'm not going to read everything, but we're going to read portions of it. In particular, we're going to go back to verse 12. But actually, let's read verse 8, and then we'll go to verse 12. Verse 8 says, "And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Obed the prophet," what did he hear? The word of God. Amen. It didn't take a whole lot of music or anything else. When he heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage. Commitment takes courage. You can't be weak. You can't be shallow in faith. Amen. You can't be a pushover if you want to be committed. Because the adversary, the devil, has a desire to have every last one of us, that he may sift us as wheat. And the word of God lets us know that he goes daily before God accusing us. Amen. Because he knows that if he can get God to count us unworthy, we have no hope. So constantly he's going before God and constantly setting traps, trying to trap us. Yes. Anybody ever been in some traps? Yes. Amen. I've seen some traps. I've seen the adversary. But it takes courage to be committed. Courage goes beyond what other people say to influence you in a negative way, because your courage must be based on a personal, intimate relationship with God. Not with half your heart, not with part of your heart, not part of your desire, but your whole heart and your whole desire. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Commitment. Courage. The opposite of courage is cowardice. Amen. Afraid to make a stand for God. Don't want to make a stand for God because of consequences. Or because of loss. Or because of what may happen. Instead of allowing the joy of the Lord to be our strength. Amen. Tonight, if we're here, it's not because of any of our goodness. It's not because you ain't right. It's not because you prayed so hard. But we're here tonight because of the mercies of God. And Jeremiah said it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. And thank God that his mercies are new every morning. And the scripture says we might not be faithful. Amen. We may come up short. And there are times we will let God down. But they say he's just a little faithful, but great is his. I said great is God's faithfulness. So commitment takes courage. Courage. Amen. And as we went over last week, and we are going to go over again today, another spiritual application of encouragement. The children of Israel, when they were in Babylon, they were put in a position where they had to make a decision. Just like every last one of us will be put in a position. We are going to have to make a choice.
Yes, sir.
And what choice will you make? Will you make a choice based on commitment, or will you make it based on obligation? Obligation is the Greek word ophelo, which means duty, ought to, must do, or have to do. Are you going to make your decision because you have to? Somebody said, well, why do you go to church? Because I have to.
Jesus.
A
I don't know about you, I go to church because I want to.
Amen.
Like I said, I remember last year when I couldn't come to church when I was in the hospital. Amen. I wanted to come to church, but I couldn't. So when I got out of the hospital, the doctor said, go home and get some rest. But I talked to Dr. Jesus.
Right.
He didn't tell me to go home.
Hallelujah.
But I did have some issues trying to get here. And I was determined to come to church. Amen. My daughter Tanya know, my wife know, Jasmine know. I couldn't put on no shoes. But I was determined to come to church. Couldn't hardly walk. Matter of fact, they tried to roll me out of the hospital in a wheelchair. I said, I'm not an invalid, I'll walk. But I was walking, I could just barely move. Then when I did get home and get changed to get to church, none of my shoes fit because my feet were swollen up so big from whatever was going on in my body. So you know what I did? I took some of my shoes and cut them up. All I had was the straps around the front. Looked like sandals when I finished with them because I couldn't get nothing in. But you know what? I was committed. I was determined to get to church. Amen. Every time the church doors open and I can be here, I want to be here.
Amen.
Not I have to be here.
Amen.
Amen. And God has been too good to me.
Amen.
I can't tell you what he's been to you, but I know what he's been to me. Mm-hmm. God has been more faithful to me than anything in this whole world.
Right.
So how can I not be committed to him? So yes, I cut my shoes up and I'm just barely out of church, but I was here. We allow so many little things to stop us from serving God. And the scripture says, when you're committed, God's going to say, well done, thou good and
faithful.
You know, and God knows. It's not up to us to make that decision. You know if you've been faithful to God. Faithfulness to God is not when people are watching you. Faithfulness to God is when it's just you and God all by yourself.
Yes.
And someone may try to push you in the corner to get you to deny God. But you must be committed. It has to go beyond that. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Commitment. Verse 12 and verse 15 of 2 Chronicles talks about the whole heart and the whole desire. And just for the sake of time, because we do have some stuff to do later, Asa was so determined to be right with God, he removed his grandmother from being queen because she was an error spiritually. Most of us, it would be hard to make that decision. But the scripture says he took what? Courage will make you, will cause you to make a stand for God, even if it means going against someone that's really close to you. When we make our decision, do we make our decision for God based on God or based on our earthly relationships? When we make a decision for God, do we make it based on God or based on our earthly relationships? Jesus said, if you're committed, you can't love mother, father, sisters, brother, husband, wife, not even your own life more than him. That's commitment. You can't love father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, grandmother, best friend, worst friend. You can't love anybody or anything more than him. He said, not even your own life. Amen? That's what commitment is. He said, because if you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of me. I think we know a lot of these scriptures, but we tend to like to go on God's mercies. Or we like to presume on God's goodness. We can't put anything before God. Daniel chapter 6. Once again, we're dealing with what tonight? Before we go to obligation, we're dealing with a commitment. Commitment is even in the face of danger.
We have to make a stand for God. Commitment is, I'm all by myself. And I have to make a stand for God. One of the things that God told Jeremiah, when God called Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I called you before I even formed you in your mother's womb. He said, I called you and I sanctified you as a prophet unto the nations. He said, and in the end, Jeremiah, because I'm with you, you can read about it in Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, you don't have to fear what anybody else does, even though you're going to be alone. He said, because I am with you. We fail to realize that God is everywhere at all times. And that he's making us a promise that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So in the midst of hard decisions, most times because we don't have courage and we're not committed, we make our decision based on other relationships. You can fill in the gap for what the relationship is because there's so many. Many of us make our commitment to God based on other relationships and our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Verse 1 reads, it pleased Darius to send over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was what? And what? Excellent spirit was in him. That's what commitment takes. And the king thought to send him over the whole realm. Why did God want to do it? Because of what? An excellent spirit. Then the miracle of all of this was that he was a captive. He wasn't even one of the Babylonians. He was an outsider. But when you got the right spirit, it doesn't make a difference. Somebody said, well, I'm not qualified. I don't meet the task. Do you have a right spirit? Daniel, by all rights, was in no position, but he had a right spirit. Amen. That's why the scripture says, a contrite heart and a contrite spirit of God, thou would not
despise
a right spirit. He had an excellent spirit. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They wanted to find out, there has to be something that this outsider is not doing right because he's not even one of us. So let's go and let's go scrutinize. Let's go examine. Let's put him under the microscope and find out what he's doing, how he's messing up. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was committed. When you're committed, people are going to talk about you and do all kinds of things. Because the Bible says, many shall live God in Christ Jesus, going to suffer some and many of the afflictions. So you're going to have to go through some stuff.
Yes.
Let them point a finger, let them make accusations. Just don't let it be true.
Yes.
Be faithful. Yes. You cannot be faithful if you are not committed.
Right.
Faithfulness and commitment go together. So people will find fault. Amen. I've been finding fault with me for years. I can't help what people think. My job is to make sure it's not true. You can think I gotta be here. That might be true. You know, y'all gotta try to relax some. Amen. That's not important. What is important is that when you try to scrutinize me, that you'll be able to say that I'm faithful. If you can find fault with me against my God, I got no problem. But if you can find fault anywhere else, I don't mind. Because I heard the late Bishop Carl Smith say, you may be able to convince a man about a lie about me, and you may be able to convince those in charge. He said, but you could never, or anyone else, can convince God a lie about you Too many of us are living our lives based on the lies and the false accusations that other people make. And because they do things contrary, we act contrary. When you act contrary, they can find fault. And your faithfulness to God will be in question. But if you're faithful, you can't control what anybody else say or do. But bless God, as they say in Galatians, don't bite and devour one another. That's not God's way. We need to make a stand. So Daniel was faithful. Neither was there any. Listen, it was 120 of them. They were going over Daniel. They couldn't find fault because he was faithful. When you're committed, don't worry about the storm. Amen. Because all it takes is for Jesus to speak the word and say, peace, be still. When you are what? Faithful. When you're without error, you're without fault. And we're not going to be perfect as far as God is concerned. But whatever we do down on this earth, we should do it to our best. So that even if we do mess up, God will bless us and take that crooked thing. I say he'll take the crooked thing and make it what?
Straight.
Because we're faithful. Yes. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning
God.
That's a good thing. The only fault you can find is we serve God. Committed. Committed. The only fault we can find is us serving God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said, thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together. They had denied. Amen. They only had one purpose. The king didn't realize. Their desire was to try to find fault with Daniel concerning his God. As long as we're alive, we're going to be pointing fingers. Just make sure it's what?
Not true.
Let them say anything about you, but make sure it's not true. Amen. Don't lose your salvation and don't lose your joy over a lie. Don't lose your salvation. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your zeal for God over a lie. Remain committed.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because they don't lie. Because there's and most of the time people aren't real alive, they just look at things from their perspective. So from their perspective, it might be wrong. Because I made that mistake lots of times myself. Because I'm just a man. I'm not perfect. So there are many times that we can make mistakes or we can make misjudgments. But to the individual that's being judged, you got to be strong.
Amen.
Somebody said, how can I be strong? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His. Because God can and will deliver.
Amen.
All right, go to the next verse. Go back to the end of 7. To make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of they knew they couldn't find fault with anything, but with his commitment and his personal intimacy with God, with a whole heart and a whole desire. Any God or man for 30 days save thee, O king, he shall be cast. There's some consequences. For you making a stand for God.
Right.
A lot of times when we get put in an unfavorable position, we say, well, God will understand if I compromise. Many times when we put in an unfavorable position, we say, God will understand if I compromise. I can't lose my job because I gotta pay the rent, I gotta keep the car, I gotta do all this. So God will understand if I compromise. If God be for you, thank God. Who in the world can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. So there are many times, just like they did Daniel, the enemy will go try to connive and create some stir up some stuff. Make your stand. Refuse to be deterred or altered from the course that God has set for you. How many know that God is sovereign? In his sovereignty, he won't allow more to come on you than you're able to bear, because God is faithful. And he will not allow any of us to be subject above, to be tempted above that which we are. How many times have we lost our peace of mind? How many times have we lost our joy? Because we're worried about what somebody else is doing. I rest in Jesus. Nothing like resting in God.
Right.
So he said, that cannot be changed according to the law and the needs of the Persians, which altered not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew, nobody had to guess, Daniel was committed. He knew the consequences of God was the what? Lion's den. Amen? You know what? Most of us, we've been running so far the other way, right? You know, I can't deal with that lion. I can deal with a whole lot of things, but the lion's den, God, you understand this. Amen? But Daniel was committed. When he knew that the right was signed, he stayed faithful and committed to God. Regardless of what the consequences were. And his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt down upon his knees three times a day and
prayed.
You can't stop me in my commitment to God. Threaten me. Amen. Threaten me with a job if you take God out of bed. If it matters, if it's a man, that means I have to come compromise my faith or live a lie, you can have it. Because God got something better. I remember there was a time, and don't try to guess what it is. I was told one time, either you have to agree with my lie or you can't be in this position. So I asked the individual, and you don't know who it is, so stop trying to figure it out. I asked the individual, I said, so you said that in order for me to keep my position, I have to acknowledge a lie. They said, no, all I say, you have to acknowledge that you agree with me. But I don't agree. I said, I'll deal with the embarrassment and the shame. But I cannot agree to a lie.
All right.
So sit me down. You know why? Because I have to live with my conscience. And I cannot be brought. I said I have to live with my conscience. And I refuse to be brought. Amen. So yes, Elder Kim, I sit down. My kids, Dad, did you stand or something? Dad, what you do wrong? It's a long story, you'll never understand. But I made a stand. If I made a stand there, I will make a stand now.
All right.
Because I'm committed.
Amen.
I wasn't committed to a ministry, a church, or a man. I was committed to God.
Amen.
How many of us tonight
That's
all
right.
are committed to God?
Jesus.
Amen. We agree with a lie so that we don't lose something. I didn't tell a lie, but did you straighten out the lie? Because the Bible said, be partakers of. You knew they were wrong. You allowed them to talk. You listened, and you didn't straighten it out. So for you just as I retract that, because that might go wrong. Let's go keep going. So give thanks. Give thanks before his God as he had did. Commitment. What I've done, I'm not going to alter it because of his threat. Amen. As I said on Sunday, my stand is this. I stand on the word of God. I don't know it all, and I will tell you that. That's why I like going to conferences and other churches to learn. But what I do know, I'm not going to alter that. Amen. Well, if you're not going to have a church, I'm going to have my salvation.
Amen.
Amen. You know why? Because at the end, when I have to appear before God, God is going to say, you made a sin.
Yes.
And you will not be sold out. You wouldn't allow them to buy you out, because that is a commitment. Amen. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. We all know the rest of the story. So they threw Daniel in the lion's den. But guess what? God shut the mouth of the lion. How many of us are compromising because of the fear, the dread of what can happen? Instead of making a stand for God based on a commitment. Asa was so committed, he removed his grandmother. Asa was a tough man. I don't know if I could have done that one. He removed his grandmother from being queen. But the reason he removed her is because she had an obscene idol that she had put out in the yard. So when Asa went there, they said, okay, Asa, you are really not a true king. You're making us do everything, but you're letting your lot and your kids get by, or your family get by with stuff. Hey, my kids will tell you, I'm really hard with them. They don't like to see me come. I love them, and they still love me. Amen. You know why? Because I stand. Stop saying amen so many times. You know what I mean? Our standard for God can't be based on preferential treatment. Last week we read about Eli.
Amen.
God, Eli was a high priest. Eli, when Elkanah and Hannah needed, before Samuel was born, he said, you shall have a child this time. So God honored his position. But then Eli honored and preferred his sons above God. So God said, told him, he said, eventually there will be a man in your house that's going to be in any leadership position as far as a priest. Because they that honor me, God says, I will honor. He said, but if you don't honor me, you esteem me lightly, I'm going to esteem you lightly. He said, the indictment against you, Eli, you allowed your sons to be in error, and you didn't correct them. So that's why I can't let my kids do wrong.
Amen.
And know it. Because that's our stand. As parents, until they get out of the house, God expects us to train them up. Somebody said, we didn't come from that. Verse 10. But that's enough. You can read in between, right?
Amen.
You got to make a stand. But now, commitment. This is all about what? Commitment. For do I now persuade men? Your commitment. Is it based upon pleasing a man or pleasing God? Or do I seek to please men? An obligation. You will turn your back on God every time if you put in a position. Should I do this for my wife? Or should I do this for God? What's the right thing in the eyes of God? When we make our decision, is it based on our relationship on earth? Or first, God didn't say don't love your mother, father, sister, and brother. He said don't prefer them what? Above me. In our commitment. What was number one? Who's number one? Then, for if I yet please men, I won't be the servant of Christ. He said, I lose my commitment because I'm pleasing someone else instead of God. Go to Jude verse 16. We go to Jude verse 16. I'm almost finished. Then we go to Colossians chapter 3 on commitment. Maybe obligation to meet next week. Amen? Amen. Jude chapter 6, Jude verse 16. There's only one chapter. When earlier in this chapter, Jude tells them, we must earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly and sincere. No, I just show up so that I look all right. It's beyond that. It's sincere. Earnestly contend for the faith. Then he said, when you don't earnestly contend, these are murmurers and
players.
We can. This is our report card to see where we are in God. These are murmurers, complaining, walking. They're all us. And there are mouths speaking great, swelling words. And the biggest problem is they what? They're trying to please man. It says that they, go back for a second. Go back to the dead. Having men's persons, flattering. Telling people what they want to do. Just to get advantage. That's not a commitment, brothers and sisters. That is an obligation. Because you're not seeking God with your whole heart and your whole desire. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And because this is a whole lot here, but verse 1 says, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's go to verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. Actually, I gotta go through this fast, so I gotta do all the rest of this. Verse 10 of Colossians chapter 3. How many are risen with Christ? Hallelujah. You've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you came up out the water and filled the Holy Ghost, ye are risen with Christ. Then our commitment is to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For if we seek those things which are above, where our treasure is, then will our heart be also. And have put on, I'm committed, the old man is gone, which we renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is
all.
Christ is what?
All.
Who's number one? My commitment. Christ is number one. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. These are the steps to commitment. You know, he said, somebody goes through some stuff like, they got just what they deserve. No, the Bible says, close some holy and beloved vows of mercy. And what?
Kindness.
These are the characteristic traits of a committed individual. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing. Noah said, I know you're having a hard time, but I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to help pray you through this. Forbearing. Not telling everybody and their brother what the problem is. I want to talk to Jesus. Owe no man anything but to them to what? Love. That's all I want to do. For if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ, this is what commitment. This is what I say. This is what the Word of God says. say, you know, I can forgive everything. No, no, no. He said, listen, as Christ forgave you. Now, all of us got some stuff that nobody knows, but God still forgave you. How can you hold somebody else's fault against sin? Amen. Next verse. And above all these things, put on commitment is a labor of love. Commitment is a labor of love. Charity is agape, which is God's love, which is unconditional love. I don't give you what you deserve, but because I have the love of God, I will give you what you need. That's agape. Above all these things, put on charity, for this is the what? Bonding, it is the glue that holds everything else together. If you don't have love for God first, how can you be committed? Love holds everything else together. It's the bond of perfectness. I don't know about super glue, gorilla glue, and all the rest of that stuff. Amen. It can't hold things together like the love of God can. For God so loved the world that he gave. One of the characteristics of divine love is you can't be so greedy and always want to take. But love requires giving. The greatest gift that God gave us before salvation was his son. That's where love starts in giving. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in. Love produces unity. Love produces unity and not division, not backbiting, not talk, but unity. Amen? One body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God, this is the only way for us to be committed. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You can't let it dwell in you if you don't study and get it on the inside. So we must let the word of God dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace. You don't have to do it out loud. Because whatever is on the inside will be reflected on me. Because the scripture says that a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think will reflect itself on the outside. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God and Father by your people, by your confession. It says, wives, do well. This is part of being committed.
That old scoundrel, what do you call that? The scoundrel? Rascal, whatever.
No, it's part of being committed. Because our commitment is not to the husband, but it's to God to be a reflection of the husband.
That's all. I got one amen. This one.
Why submit yourselves unto your own?
You only got one husband. You only have one wife. So that's where the submission goes.
As it is what?
It's the right thing to do in the Lord. Why submit yourselves to your own husband? As long as he's not telling you to sin or do anything wrong, as it is what?
Fit in the Lord. Now, if he's not fit in the Lord, don't do it.
That's right.
Because our first commitment is first to who?
The Lord.
Next verse. Husband, love your wives and be not. This is all a part of commitment. This is part of being a new man. Husband, love your wife, because that's the only way that they're going to submit to you. It's a two-way street. So, commitment, what are we doing with marriage? Because you can't be committed to God if you can't be committed to each other. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. And then I read someone said, this business needs to be rooted. polite and just ugly acting. Who is he talking to? The husband, because the husband is supposed to be the Lord of the house, and he's supposed to love the woman as Christ. Hello? So we demand submission, but where is the love of God? So he said, this is all part of commitment. Amen. Somebody said, I'm going to take that out of my life. Don't change. And still, you can't add to it, you can't take away from it. But the Bible says you will be found a liar, and in the end, you will pay. You can't add or you can't take away. So husband, love your wives, and be not. That's our responsibility. You don't know what she did. She hadn't cooked in 10 years. That's all right. No, that's a facetious thing. I'm just using it as a wild example. All right, back up with the back. But what I'm saying is, there's no reason for us to act ugly, husband to wife or wife to husband. Somebody said, well, you don't know what he's done. Let's see, who's worse than this? Never mind, let's keep going. I'm getting in trouble now. Children, obey your parents in some things.
Amen.
This is all part of love. In all things, for this is well-pleasing
unto the Lord.
Fathers, and you're responsible in the house. What are you doing provoking your children to anger? Provoking means that you are the instigator. You started this. Provoke not your children to anger. Lest they don't even want to come back to church. Because they see you shouting, jumping all over the place in church. They say, well, he's not really living the life, so I'm discouraged. Amen. This is all a part of what?
Commitment.
Commitment has to start in the home. How can you be committed to God just in church? Where is commitment at home? Amen. Well, I just can't do it. Well, who are you trying to please? Who do you have in admiration? God or man? Let's go, keep going. It says, servant, obey in all things your masters according to the
flesh.
Not when there wasn't. This, even though this is dealing with the servant or slave back in that time, this is also our responsibility to God. Obey in
all things.
Not with eye service. Eye service is big. As long as somebody's watching me, I'm going to do the right thing. But let them close their eyes. I'm just going to do my thing. That's not commitment. Amen. It has to go beyond just when someone is watching you. As man pleases, but in it has to be a whole heart, a whole desire. And whatsoever ye do, do it. Whatsoever ye do, do it what? Heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. That is commitment. Commitment is not just in church, but it's at home. Commitment is not just in your relationship with each other, but it's in your relationship, husband and wife, parents and children to parents. That is commitment. So when I checked myself out and I got my little sheet, I got a lot of stuff to work on. How can I be committed? If we can't treat one another right, how is that commitment? Amen? We must treat one another right in order to be committed. And as he said in Galatians, go back to Galatians 1:10, I will go over this one more time. Many of us have lost sight of what salvation is all about. Paul asked the Lord, he said, what will you have me to do? And then once God gave him something to do, he said his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. Paul says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Once he received his commission to God, Paul was committed. His commitment wasn't based on a lack of labor of love, but he labored more than they all. And then he says, I believe it's in Philippians, he says that my laboring, I excel them all. That is commitment. Tonight, you must make your own personal decision. Are you committed? Amen. Well, they did two things, so I did three. No, you got to excel. Do your best. What is my best might not be your best. And what is your best might not be my best. But do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not unto men. That is commitment. For do I now persuade men? Before we make our next decisions, do I do it for men or do I do it for God? Do I do it to be seen so no one will say anything to me? That is an obligation. And that is not commitment. Do I do it for men or do I do it for who? God. Or do I seek? And you know, sometimes please men can be yourself. That's why the Bible said, be not deceived. We can deceive ourselves into thinking we're doing the right thing. But Paul says, well aware of this. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. So don't be deceived into trying to please yourself and say, well, God will understand. God says, what I say unto one, I say unto all. And then he said, if I give you the whole law. He said, but if you're guilty in you're guilty and all. Get it right. Salvation is about being open and clean and clear before God. For if I yet please, I'm no longer the servant of Christ. If I seek to please men, I'm not the servant of Christ as we stand. We're going to read just a couple. This is going to close our obligation. Let me read you something about those that are committed as opposed to obligation. When we feel free to commit to something, we will be more inspired, motivated, and confident, and will be convicted to refuse to be deterred until the task is started and completed. Commitment, we're going to start and finish the task. Amen. Commitment to God guarantees a positive and productive relationship with all. Saved and unsaved. When you're committed, it produces a positive relationship with all. I'll work with this, but not that. No, that's not what God says. That's not commitment. That's nothing more than an obligation. When you're committed, it produces a positive relationship with all. Amen. Somebody said, I got a few things to work on, so do I. But that is what commitment is. Commitment to God produces an enthusiastic individual with the thought of glorifying God. When you are committed, you are enthusiastic, you are full of energy. You ever see somebody, not in our church, you ever see somebody taking the charge of some auxiliaries, and you go through, oh, here we go, do this. They say, what am I in charge of? So I have to pick up myself. I ain't in charge of nothing. But what I'm saying is, we can't approach our responsibilities that God has given us and look like someone that just stole all your joy. Amen. So bad that they said the family pet runs from you. That's a bad individual, wouldn't you say? Amen. Not me. I gotta go all the way. They gotta get it right. But we should be, wherever we go, when we commit to God, we should be such an atmosphere of peace and joy and confidence. That is what commitment is. Go ahead and share. That's what commitment is. It produces the right relationships. Now judge your relationships. If they're not right, there's an obligation. It means you're involved because you have to do it. That's an obligation. If your relationships are well, it's because you're committed. And the bond of perfectness is what? Love. As the ministers come forward, we are bound to God by love. God is bound to us by love. Our perfectness comes through love. Tonight, as we all stand, that Abel said, our commitment must be based on the love of God. What has God done for you? God has done so much for me. I don't know about you. I can't do too much for him. Let us face God with commitment and not as an obligation.